Appreciate you guys braving the cold. I know it's, well, that wind blowing, it's kind of chilly out there. But there'll be no service this evening because, well, Marilyn said, we don't know what's coming for sure. But I'm sure glad that those of you that was able to make it out today, that you're here. We're going to pick up in Romans 8. Last week, Paul made a statement in Romans 7. And if you just left it there, well, people have made doctrines out of it. I guess that isn't a good description. If you just left it there, if Paul would have just left it there, we might have said, well, okay. Because Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thank God, then, through Jesus Christ, I myself with my mind serve the law of Christ, but with the body, the law of sin and death. And I remember reading that one day, and I said, Lord, couldn't you read from this statement that Paul's saying that the law of sin and death is still at work in our body, so therefore we could follow the law of sin and death as Christians? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, but it's up to you who you're going to follow. And I've heard Romans 7 preached and taught, and as I said, we discussed it in Bible college. And almost, I don't know that we mean to, but we almost use it as an excuse for a Christian to have persistent sin in their life. And to give it the thumbs up. It's okay. Paul said, I struggle with sin. I do the things I don't want to do. The evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the good I want to do, I don't do. So it's okay, Christian. Paul understood. In fact, Paul was sharing a little bit of his embarrassing testimony. I've never, in testimony services, and we don't do it here, which is kind of sad, but I've never heard anybody in testimony get up and say, I just want to praise the Lord. I've been struggling with this sin, and boy, it's getting the victory over me, but I just want to praise the Lord because I know the Lord loves me, and I want you all to pray for me because I'm really struggling with this sin. But we just assume in the church, well, everybody's going to sin. Pardon me. Paul said it's going to happen, so why fight it? We're going to find out today that's not what Paul means. Why did Paul say, with my body I serve the law of sin, with my mind the law of Christ? Why would he make such a statement? Is he okay in it for the Christian to have persistent sin? And I want to clarify that. Whenever John says anyone who is in God does not sin, because God's seed remains in him and he cannot keep on sinning, the key to that is the Greek, from what the commentaries have read, John is saying anyone who is a Christian does not practice sinning, does not live a constant, consistent life of sin. Because God's holy seed is within him, and he cannot go on in persistent sin. So John was saying, if you're living in persistent sin and you call yourself a Christian, something is wrong. Because God wants to do a work in your life, and this morning, Paul's going to talk about that work. Our text is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Begging your pardon, I've had a runny nose this week and a little bit of coughing. I thought it was allergies, but it might be a little bit of a cold. I don't know. So I've been shaking hands with you and spreading it around. If y'all get sick, then I'll know it's not allergies. Yeah. I do want to throw something in. I saw my cardiologist Tuesday. Got a good report. He said, your heart sounds good. Everything's healing well. And he did tell me that the contrast dye showed some muscle damage in my heart on the left side. So he said, you've had a heart attack before you got here. And men especially, I want to encourage you. I worked the ambulance 5 years. I've argued with a lot of heart attack patients, mainly men. It's just indigestion. Something I ate just isn't settling. And we'd argue it. Then we'd do an EKG, and sometimes EKG will only show up 50% of the time. But if it shows that something's happening. But even when the EKG looked normal, the medics say, well, your EKG looks good. Well, I don't need to go to the hospital. Well, we talk them into going. And I remember one man in particular. I saw him in town here a week later, and he come up and he shook my hand and he said, you guys saved my life. He said, the doctor told me if I hadn't come to the hospital, I'd have died before the night was out. And I want to encourage you men, especially because we're stubborn about that. If you're starting to have pressure in your chest and it's going down an arm or both arms or in your back, don't mess around with that. The doctor told me the damaged muscle in my heart is in the best place for a damaged muscle to be. If you can get that. He said, of all the places in your heart that can have muscle damage, this will least affect the ejection fraction of your heart. My ejection fraction is good. 55 to 75 is normal. Mine's at 55. So praise God for that. Amen. Yeah. But guys, don't fool around with it. Now I'm saying this from hindsight. Because I can look back and say, well, okay, I think I know about when that happened. But I thought, well, it's just a little acid reflux, a little indigestion. Don't fool with that, especially if you have a family history of it, which I do. It all caught up to me. So let me put that plug in there for medical science. I don't want to be doing a funeral with one of y'all that thought you had an upset tummy and you die of a heart attack. So, guys, if your wives say go get it checked out, listen to them. Don't argue them. Just go get it checked out. All right. We're in Romans 8, verses 1 through 17. I've entitled this The Spirit of Life. Paul talks about the law of the Spirit of Life. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of Life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Father, I thank You that Your Word does not return to You void, like the snow and the rain. You send to water the earth. You said Your Word accomplishes what You send it out to do. As we read this letter of Brother Paul's, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will take this to our hearts, that You will deal with us. Lord, this will be a time of self-examination, that we may see whether we're living by the truth or whether we're living by a lie. I thank You, Lord, for the offer of redemption You offer to us as Your children, that if we confess our sins, You will be faithful and just to forgive us for them and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, I ask that You bar the enemy from this service, that You not allow him to disrupt or cause trouble or to distract. Lord, that You not allow him to steal the Word, but that Your Word will take seed into our hearts, and it will accomplish what you want it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Judaism taught that the Holy Spirit had been taken off of man and woman at the fall, which is what the Bible basically seems to teach, and would not be restored until the kingdom age had come. Then, and only then, the rabbi said Joel 2:28 would be fulfilled, where God says, I'll pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. Now, Peter announced on the day of Pentecost, Joel's been fulfilled. Now, to the Orthodox Jewish leaders who had rejected Jesus Christ, this was very offensive, because Peter basically was saying, the kingdom is here. You remember Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here, and they were offended. Well, we've got it all figured out, boy, and the kingdom of God is going to come just like this. So, on the day of the one feast, we talked about this a little more in detail in Sunday school a while back. The priest would gather water from this spring outside of Jerusalem, and they had this platform, this altar set up, and they would walk up these steps to the altar, and they would all stand around the altar with their buckets, and they would pour water on the altar, and they would sing, may God bless you, may God pour His Spirit out upon you. And that water would run down those stairs like a river. And it signified to them, they were looking for the day when God's kingdom would be established on the earth, and righteousness would rule, and God's knowledge and Spirit would flow like water. And Jesus stood up in the middle of this and said, if any one of you is thirsty, let him come to me. And I will give him water that, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow water like a living river. That really ticked some of them off. You know, if you start to read the history and the culture, you'll start understanding that Jesus Christ made such radical statements, you either had to believe he was demon-possessed, a little bit off, or he was telling the truth. And that's the challenge to this day. Whenever we read the Scripture, the Word of God, you have a decision to make, man and woman. Is this baloney, or is it true? Is that just Rick's opinion, or is this the Spirit of God? Now, Paul, like I said last week where we left off, he said, I praise God that with my mind I serve the law of Christ, but with my body the law of sin and death. And people run with that. See, Paul said that we have the law of sin and death in our body, that we have sin in our body, and we just can't help but sin. That's not what Paul said. Why did Paul say in this body the law of sin and death rules? Because this body hasn't been redeemed yet. Paul, in another place in Romans, he says our spirits have been redeemed. Redeemed means bought back. And you notice in that passage, in those 17 verses, how many times Paul talks about the mind. The mind, that's what controls the body. Paul said to one church, I keep my body under subjection unless after I preach to others I myself am a reject. That's possible. Paul said that's possible. You can preach to others, you can teach others, but if you don't keep yourself under control, you don't keep that body under control, you can be a reject. The Lord can look at you and say, I don't know you. Who told you, Christian, it's okay to watch smutty movies? Who told you it's okay to have sex outside of marriage? It has amazed me how many Christians, professed Christians, have come to me and say, we want to get married, and we're believers, and we're living together. And, you know, when I get up the courage, I say, something's wrong here. Who told you it's okay to live together? Well, God's all about love, you know, and this is love. No, it's lust. A little different, sir. God didn't tell you it's okay. Or, well, I'm a gay Christian. Really? That's an oxymoron. An oxymoron, it doesn't reflect on that I think you're a moron. It just says that what you're saying is two words that don't go together and you slam them together. I'm a gay Christian. You're either gay or you're a Christian. You can't be both. Amen. You cannot be both. Well, I'm a drunk Christian. You know, if I said, well, I'm a drunk Christian, you'd say, now, you can't be a drunk Christian, especially you Baptists. You can't be a drunk Christian. It's in our church covenant. Well, I'm a Christian that smokes. You can't be a Christian that smokes. That's in our church covenant that you will not promote the sale of tobacco or alcohol or the use of it. See what I'm saying? We have our doctrines, but it's funny. I've been in the Baptist, the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal, the Nazarene, the Methodist, Churches of Christ, and all of us will say in our church doctrine says, if you're a Christian, this is what you do not do. That's what we measure our spirituality by, is what we don't do. I rarely hear us talking about it's by what we do that shows who we are, not by what we don't do. But we all have these differing opinions, but we'll all say across the board, yeah, as Christians, you're going to sin. You just can't. Even Paul said that in Romans 7. That's not what Paul said. Paul is saying, because my body has not been redeemed yet, it is subject to the law of sin and death. How do I know that? This body's dying. It's dying every day. So is yours. The wages of sin is death. Now, we know it's a spiritual death, but it's also this physical death. And Jesus Christ, when He returns, is going to give us all immortal bodies, sinner and saint alike. I had a preacher friend of mine say one time, you know, I've been thinking a lot about hell. And he said, I'm starting to understand why people say, how can a spirit feel pain in a literal fire? And I said, well, brother, you're missing out on something. John said, all the dead will stand before Christ. The sea will give up the dead in Him. Isaiah, God said, the earth will spit out the dead that are hidden in it. So all the bodies buried in these hollers around here in Douglas County, I know there's a lot of them buried in Douglas County, are going to stand up someday. They're not hid. God knows where every one of them is. You're all going to live forever, but not all of you are going to have eternal life. Big difference. And Paul is, what Paul's talking about, you remember he said, with my mind, I serve the law of Christ. Well, what controls the body? The mind. He says, if you're living in the flesh, you're letting the flesh control the mind. I've met men that had less moral scruples than a goat. I mean, you talk about sex fiends. I used to run with a guy, loved him like a brother, but he liked dating married women. He thought it was funny. Especially when they were having marital problems, he would single in on them women. And I told him, someday, there's going to be a husband that's not going to put up with that. He's not going to understand, and you may not escape with your life. Several years later, I saw him when he got out of the hospital, and this husband had took a hunting knife to him and cut him from his chin to his toes. And he said, Rick, I'm so scared he's going to cut me again. And I said, well, what do you want me to do about it? All of a sudden, dating married women wasn't so funny. But see, in his mind, he thought it was okay. That's an unregenerated mind. That's not a mind controlled by the law of the Spirit or the law of Christ. The church knew the Holy Spirit was here. Paul said there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. Now, we take that as a doctrine and say, you see, once I'm a Christian, I can do what I want. And God, when He looks at me, He just sees Jesus. I remember a cartoon I used to have, this guy holding this cardboard cutout of Jesus up and drinking a fifth of whiskey. And the caption said, when God sees me, He only sees Jesus. Well, when He looks through the blood, it's a screen. That's a smoke screen, people. Peter said, don't use your liberty in Christ as a malicious cloak to hide your sin behind. And you don't hide that from God. Paul's dealing in this church with people being in the flesh, which means they're letting their bodies control their minds. They're acting on animal impulse, if you will. And they're saying, but we're Christians. Now, Paul said, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Is that just a big blanket statement? No, he gives conditions in this. We don't like that. No, there's no conditions. There are conditions. Listen to what Paul said. For the law of the Spirit of Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's why I told you when I preached on 7, this isn't Paul the Christian saying, I'm a Christian and I'm a slave to sin. Because if he did, he just contradicted himself in the next paragraph. I'm a Christian. I'm a slave to sin. But Jesus Christ set me free from the law of sin and death. Well, which is it, Paul? Did Jesus Christ set you free, or are you a slave? Paul said, my body's a slave, but I don't have to do what my body wants to do. Christian, well, why am I so tempted? Because your body's still subject to the law of sin and death. Theologians call this acquired depravity. It's one of the first few words I remember out of Bible college. Acquired depravity. It stuck with me. First time I ever smoked a cigarette, I didn't go, oh man, this is great. And I was in a pool hall and I laid down across the pool table and thought, I'm going to die. You know, and the guy's saying, get off the table, man. I can't. You know, I can't see. How could anybody smoke these nasty things? But I kept smoking them and acquired a taste for them. People who don't smoke say, how can anybody smoke them cigarettes? You have to acquire a taste for it. How can anybody run around? You have to acquire a taste for it. How can anybody drink that nasty alcohol? How can anybody ever stick a needle in their arm? You have to acquire a taste for it. And see, once you have acquired that taste, it kind of sticks with you. I've been a Christian 30 years, and I still think pot smells good. I can walk into a room where people are smoking pot, and I'm like, oh, sense of meal. I know that smell. I was at a party one time, and I leaned over the punch bowl and went, Jack Daniels. How do you know that's Jack Daniels? I'm a connoisseur, man. I used to drink it all. And I was right. The guy said, yeah, I put Jack Daniels in there. I said, told you. So am I ever tempted? You bet I am. But my body doesn't control my mind. My mind's under the control of the law of Christ. And I say with Paul, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Sin's not my master anymore. It's the exception in my life. Oh, Rick's bragging on Rick. No, I'm not. I'm bragging on my Savior. He's the one that broke that power. He's the reason I don't drink. He's the reason I don't do the stuff I used to do. Because Christ has changed my want to. Christ has given me an option. I don't have to do what my flesh wants to do. Does my flesh still get up? You bet it does. And sometimes I let it rear up. Paul said, and you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Is that past, present, or future? Oh, come on. I know you guys studied English. Past, present, or future tense? Present. It's not something I got to wait for to get to the kingdom of heaven. God's already done it. He made me alive in Christ. Jesus was talking to the Jews one day and He said, don't marvel at this, but the hour is coming. It's here right now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. What's He mean by that? Boy, I got a hold of that one day. I hadn't been a Christian but about 5 years and I was reading that and I almost threw my Bible straight up in the air. Glory to God, I saw what He meant. He said, you're dead. If you're not in Christ, you're dead. You're dead to God. But Jesus said, if you listen to my voice and you respond, you'll live. That's the first resurrection. I believe that. That's the first resurrection. John said, blessed are those who partake in the first resurrection, for the second death has no power over them. And that's what I think John was talking about. And praise God, I've already partaken of the first resurrection. My spirit lives because of Jesus Christ, because I responded to Him. But I'm still tempted. I'm still in this body of death. I read in one commentary that sometimes for murder, what the Romans would do to punish a murderer would be to take a corpse, or maybe the one he killed, and strap it to their body and let them walk around with that decaying body on them. And of course, all that filth and that would soak up into their system and they would die of sepsism. They would die of the nasty from the dead body soaking into their blood. Septic. Now, that's nasty. Could you imagine having a, you know, hey, preacher, I'm thinking about my roast when I get home. Don't be talking about that. But can you imagine that? Having a rotting corpse on your back and that constant reminder, this is what you did, so you're going to die. And one commentary said that's the analogy Paul was using. This rotting, stinking body of death. Paul the Christian looked at his body and said, I'm not a good old boy. I'm not somebody that never hurt anybody. I'm rotten. I'm a vile sinner. I'm corrupt. Who's going to deliver me from this? Thank God through Jesus Christ. That was Paul's answer. That's the answer to the church today. God's already delivered you and set you free. He said by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands, he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. I was praying one day, and the Lord said something to me that was so profound, and I heard it in a song later. He said, you don't have to do anything else. I did it all on the cross. All you have to do is submit to what I did. I was talking to a Christian a while just the other day, and we got to talking about the cross of Christ and what he's done in our lives. And we said, isn't it amazing that when you just learn to submit? I said, isn't it amazing the power we have in Jesus Christ? And this person was Pentecostal, so they're a little more into it than I am. But here are these two brothers sitting there fellowshipping. We don't agree with all every doctrine that we agree with, but boy, we agree with the power of Jesus Christ to save you and to change you. And all we do is submit. As I said at the beginning, when I was reading this and I asked the Lord that question, I felt like plain as day in my mind, he said, well, Rick, it just depends who you're going to follow. You see, we have a choice, Christian. God said, I will put my law in your minds and in your heart, and no longer will a man say to his neighbor, know the Lord, because they will know me. Do you know that's God's purpose for you, Christian? He wants you to know him. They couldn't do that under the law. You could know about him, but you couldn't know him. And God says, I want you to know me. God is talking about intimacy. And Promise Keepers used to say this, and I like it. Intimacy means into me, see. God says, I'm opening myself up to you. I want you to know me. I already know you. You know, we're an open book to the Lord. We can't hide anything. But God invites us to know him. I'm going to tell you that song we sang, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I love that testimony. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The more the Lord opens himself up to you, the less attractive this world is. And you don't want anything to do with it. What they offer, keep that over there. That's trash. It's death. Paul said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts. This is what's already been done for you, Christian. This is what's already been done. This great man of God, this missionary of the early church, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. One day he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and it changed him forever. And he was able to say, man, I thought I knew God. Now let me tell you what he's revealed to me. Paul said he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to an open shame by triumphing over them in him, in Christ. This has already been done. That's past tense and present tense and future tense. It's already done. It's a done deal. One of my favorite scriptures in 1 John, and as a young Christian, I got a hold of this, and it's something that's helped me all through my life as a Christian. Not always, but I mean in weak times, is where John says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. You got to have faith, Christian. When the temptations come, you just rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't need that. Get that out of here. What James say? Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. See, Paul wasn't given a Christian license to sin in chapter 7. He's saying, I understand that this body is subject to sin and death, but it's my mind that I serve Christ with, not my body. Now, don't take that wrong, because you're going to say, well, now in Romans 12, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the living mercies of God, that you submit your bodies to the Lord as a sacrifice. In fact, I got that scripture in here somewhere in my notes. But you see, the mind, the mind is what controls the body. The mind is that part of your attitude that controls what you do. That's how the scholars define that. So, Paul's not just talking about the gray matter. He's talking about the will. My will. John Wesley said, true sanctification for a Christian is when we give our will to God and give Him permission to capture it and make it His. It's my will. You gave it to me. You gave me free will. I'm giving it to you. You make it your will. He said, that's true sanctification. That's true surrender to Jesus Christ. Here I am with all my faults and all my flaws, and the Lord says, I'll take it. And Paul said, well, who's going to deliver me from this body of corruption? Jesus Christ. Can a Christian walk free of sin in this life? Yes. Do I know any that's totally free of sin? Nope. Not yet. I'm not yet. I still give in. But boy, it's not my master. I'm not saying that to brag. That's the exception in my life. I'm not going to live in sin. It has no attraction. It's the pig pen. I like the prodigal story about the prodigal son because Jesus said one day he comes to himself and he's standing in pig poop. You know, and he's wanting to eat these pods, and there's these nasty pigs around him, you know. And all of a sudden it said he came to himself. Jesus said, man, he looked around and said, look where you're at, dude. That's something every Christian in this room can do when you get into sin. When you backslide, what we call backslide, if you will come to yourself, if you will look around and say, God, look where I'm at, that's what he's waiting to hear. And he'll stick that hand out and say, well, get a hold of my hand, I'll get you out of there. I was talking to a guy one time, and he was asking me to explain salvation, and he loved to fish. And I said, well, this is what it's like. What if you and I are fishing off this dam, and you fall in, and you're choking? And I'm reaching out to get a hold of you, but in your pride, you go, I'll get out of here. I got in here on my own. I'll get out on my own. And I said, I finally lay down on my belly where I can reach you, and I reach my hand out and say, get a hold of my hand. And you slap my hand away and say, no, I'll get out, and you drown. He said, that would be stupid. I said, then why are you trying to get to God on your own? Because Jesus Christ reaches that hand out and says, get a hold of my hand. He does that when there's sin in our lives, Christian. When it's triumphing over us. When we actually think to call out to the Lord, He sticks that nail-scarred hand out and says, get a hold of my hand. And so often as Christians, we slap it out of the way and say, that's all right, I'll do this on my own. I'll just resolve I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, I'll give my computer away. You better start with that hand. You better start at the foot of the cross. You better admit that you're a sinner and you need God to pull you out of this or you're going to die there. I love this because Paul doesn't leave us in the dark and say, well, you know, we're just sinners. He says, look what Christ has done for you. God has forgiven you. God has delivered you. God has made you a partaker of His Holy Spirit. It's because of His grace and mercy, if you are in Christ, sin is not your master. That's another reason why Paul said, well, I'm sold to sin as a slave. I knew that Paul wasn't talking about Paul the Christian. He was talking about Saul the Pharisee when he was trying to follow the law. He goes, I'm sold as a sin to slave. Paul said, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and be set the mind. Another way the King James says is fix. In Hebrews it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Set your mind on the Spirit, not on the flesh. Whose choice is that? Ours. You see, in Jesus Christ, God says, Here's the Spirit of the law of life. Set your mind on that and you're going to live. That's too simple. I got to do some great act. I got to do something to prove to God that I'm worthy enough to be saved. I've got to suffer enough in this sin to remind myself of who I am. You know. And God says, just set your mind on the Spirit. He's there. He wants you to set your mind on the Spirit. In fact, the Scriptures say there's a constant struggle in the life of the Christian between the Spirit and the flesh. And He said they're opposed to one another. The flesh is going, I want my way. And the Spirit says, this is the way you need to walk in. Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. That word, transformed, in the Greek, metamorpho, is where we get the word metamorphosis from. When a worm weaves a cocoon and it breaks out and it's a butterfly, it's a total transformation. And Paul says, let your mind be transformed. That's not by watching Days of Our Death and reading smutty novels. It's by getting into the Word of God. And allow Him to transform your mind. Paul the Pharisee had memorized thousands of scriptures. But boy, Paul the Christian all of a sudden understood. And he's going, wow, let God transform your mind. Metamorpho. God will take that old nasty fleshly mind of yours and He will transform it to where you're going to think just like Jesus. That's what He wants. And if the mind's thinking like Jesus, He said, just let the body follow along with Him. The church is the body of Christ. You're His hands, His feet, His lips, His ears, His eyes. And that's what He has ordained. How many of you beat your body daily? How many of you go weeks without taking a bath? If you do, don't raise your hand, please. You take care of your body, don't you? What kind of God would say, you're my body, but I'm not going to take care of you. You're on your own. I'm not going to help you. If you've got an infection, I'm not going to do something about it. If you're in pain, I'm not going to do anything about it. If you're suffering, I don't care. You ever stub your toe in the middle of the night? Especially when your wife moves furniture around, doesn't tell you about it? And you kick the end of your toe, and I see blue light in my eyes. Ow! And it hurts all the way to the top of your head. Do you think when part of Christ's body hurts like that He doesn't know it? Yeah, He does. Does He care? Oh man, He cares. Well, what's the problem? We're the problem. When we act like nothing's wrong. Instead of submitting to the Holy Spirit and saying, you're right and I'm wrong, Lord, I've got a problem. And Jesus says, well, I'm a problem fixer. Amen. One night on the ambulance, we all slept in these separate bedrooms. And the girl that slept in this bedroom, I don't know why women are like this, but that bed had been in that place for 2 years. Same spot. And she decided to move the room. Well, I always got off the bed on the left side of the bed when the tones go off. I had a squawk box in my room. And when the medics were really ornery, before they went to bed, if I was asleep, they'd walk up and turn that squawk box way up. So when the tones went off, you're awake. I always bailed off the left side of the bed. And she had rearranged the room. And I saw it when I came into work. And I went to sleep, and the tone went, bee, 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 bee. And I bailed off the left side of the bed and did a Spider-Man. Right into the wall. And when I run around in circles for almost a minute in the dark trying to find the light switch. And I finally got dressed and I got out in the truck and the medical center, he goes, did you run into a wall? He said, man, my bedroom wall just went, brrr. He said, I was getting ready to go check on you and see if you was conscious. And I was like, shut up. Christy moved the furniture again. I don't know why I told that story. It just seemed to go along with what I'm talking about. But you know, we do that as Christians sometimes. We get a little disoriented. And we run around the room. And what we need, you know, when I found the light switch was when I stopped running and stood still for a minute and looked around and said, okay, I know it's on this wall. And as Christians, we get like hamsters sometimes in them cages. We just run, and them wheels, and we don't go anywhere till we stop. And we're, and we do that as Christians. We'll run around, try everything we can, and prayer is our last resort. I can get a hold of this. I'm a man. You got to get like Paul's attitude and say, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Paul's saying, I can't do this, but Jesus Christ can. As a Jew, Paul thought that men should keep the law in order to be saved. As a Christian, Paul realized you need to be saved in order to keep the law. That's cool. That's not my thought. That came from C.A. Anderson Scott. I don't know who he is. They just had his name in his commentary. But I like the saying. As a Jew, Paul thought you had to keep the law to be saved. As a Christian, Paul realized you have to be saved to keep the law. That's God's work. For the Christian to choose to remain in the flesh is to choose to be God's enemy. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. I didn't say it. See, you have a choice if you're a Christian. Are you going to serve the flesh, the law of sin and death, or are you going to serve the law of the Spirit of life? I feel like it's like this. It's like the law of gravity. It's real. I challenged a kid in youth group with that one time because he said, well, I don't believe in absolutes and absolute morals. And we were talking about the law of sin and death. And, well, I don't believe in that. Really? I said, well, I'm going to go out here and walk off the roof and not touch the ground. He said, you can't do it. Why? Because the law of gravity. I said, I don't believe in the law of gravity. He said, well, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. You're going to fall. And I said, young man, it doesn't matter whether you believe in the law of sin and death or not. It's still in control of you. And you have to make a decision. The law of spirit of life is just as real as the law of sin and death because it's the law that God has established. And He promises me if I live by that law, I will live forever with Him. I can live free of sin, from sin, because of Him. It doesn't have the mastery over me. Paul said the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that they who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He said, that's the acts of the flesh. Well, how do I know if I'm living in the flesh? Paul gave you a list there. Now, it's not an all-covering list. He didn't list everything in there, but he lists some of the top 10. You know, if you call yourself a Christian and you're living in sexual immorality, you might ought to question that. Because that's not the Holy Spirit leading you. That's not living by the law of the Spirit of life. Paul said, you're living by the law of the flesh. What happens if I do that? You're going to die. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Who's he talking to? Us, the Christians. This isn't a letter to unbelievers. They're not going to read it. If they do read it, they don't understand it and they don't care. Paul's talking to the church and he says, you can't mock God. If you want to sow to your flesh and live by your flesh, you will die. That's the law of sin and death. Cause and effect. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's one of the basic laws of physics. One of the only things I remember from science class. And Paul said, you cannot mock God. If you want to sow to your flesh and Christian, you can do that if you choose to do that. But Paul said, understand this. You're going to reap death. And that's not what God wants for you. He has given us His Spirit that we might call Him Father. He has given us His Spirit that we might have the mind of Christ. Jesus said, it's good for you that I'm going away because I'm going to send the Helper. The Greek there is Parakletos, and that is one who comes alongside. It's a term we use to talk about counselors in the legal sense. He is one who defends your cause. And the picture Jesus gives is the Holy Spirit comes along beside of you in life and He gets you by the arm and says, walk this way. Like walking through a minefield, He knows where all the bombs are. And He'll lead you, weave you in and out, and say, don't go over there. Watch her. Not Sister Dodd. I'm just kind of... Watch her. I'll point to my right. Watch him. Don't go there. Don't do that. You don't want that job. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He'll take things that belong to me and He'll show them to you. You know, I love that in John 17 when He said, Father, I have made you known to them and I will continue to make you known. You can't exhaust God. Jesus said, I'll keep revealing Him to you. For how long? For as long as you want to know Him. Wow. That's what He does for us. So is Paul saying that a Christian has to live in sin? No. He says a Christian chooses to live in sin. And just like you can choose to live in sin, you can choose to switch masters and live by the law of the Spirit of life. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, you've never called out to Him to save you, this doesn't pertain to you. You are in the flesh, meaning you don't have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You have not received His Spirit. You do not belong to Him, and you don't have any choice. You're going to live by the law of sin and death. But you can remedy that if you will come forward and confess Christ and submit to baptism and call out to Him to save you, then He promises you that He will give you His Holy Spirit. You will be His, and He will begin to reveal the truth to you, and He will deliver you from the law of sin and death, if that's what you want. If you're here this morning as a Christian, and you say, well, I know I've got away from the Lord. What do I need to do? Jesus said, you need to come to yourself and realize you're in the pig pen. And pray wherever you're at and say, God, I'm not going to play a game with you. I know where I am. I know where I need to be. And I need you to pull me out of this. I need you to set me free, to deliver me. And the Lord says, I'll do it. Why don't you stand with me? If you need to receive Christ this morning, if you need to call out to Him, I want to invite you to come forward as we sing the song of invitation. And we'll talk. Sister Jill Messenger fell this week and broke her ankle. So she's at her sister's in Hartville, and she's asked for your prayers. She said when the snow clears up, she'll be back. But she asked me to let you know that, and if she's doing okay, everything's all right, but she's staying with her sister, so she's kind of got a little help there. So be praying for Jill. Keep praying for the church, the elders. Keep praying for me. We have a whole list of people on the back of this that we pray for. I encourage you, if you can come here on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we're starting up our prayer meetings again, come and pray with us. If you have a prayer request you don't want to make public, that wooden box back there says prayer request. You can write it on there and drop it in there. And I assure you that any prayer request given to the prayer team stays there. So maybe if you're more comfortable doing that, then do that. I want to alert our guest. I had somebody get on to me about this a while back. She said, I didn't know where to put the offering. And I said, well, it's up there on the screen, but like me, a lot of people won't read the screen. We have a metal box back there that's offering. We don't pass a plate around here because we believe that's between you and the Lord. She said, when I was in the Baptist church, we passed the plate. I said, well, we're not Baptist. We don't pass the plate. Sorry if there's any Baptists in here. I mean, that's not a bad thing, but if you're here today and you're visiting and you say, you know, wow, they didn't take an offering, we don't do that. That's between you and the Lord, but there's a metal box back here. If you want to leave an offering, you're more than welcome. We'll be glad to take it. Any other prayer requests? I don't have any before me other than Jill Messenger. All right. Brother Gary Hanger, would you